fellow paranormal aficionados. This week I'm drinking the last of the Truly Poolside 4-pack, and this flavor is Pina Colada style. And it is my least favorite of the four. Pina coladas are creamy usually, so to have it in a seltzer form, not my favorite, but still pretty delicious. So this week we're going to take a little road trip around the Corinth area, Corinth, Lake Luzerne area. I found a little bit there that a little more than I was expecting. So we're going to start in Corinth, and this first story is from David Pitkin's book, Ghosts of the Northeast, and it's entitled Mechanic Street. The Lamphere family sold the house at 105 Mechanic Street in Corinth, New York, to Rich Eggleston and his wife in 1967. Though she was just three when they moved in, Kim, Rich's daughter, had vivid memories of their years there. She remembers a rocking chair rocking by itself on an enclosed side porch. Before it rocked, its cushion would indent, as if someone had just sat on it, though clearly no one was visible. Even more incredible, a book was suspended in the air over the chair, its pages open for the invisible reader. She watched her father walk across the porch, oblivious to the ghost reader, and at that instant, Kim felt a cold chill pass her. When I was 13, said Kim, I came home from school to find the telephone ringing. The call was for my dad, and I informed the caller that he wasn't home yet. From upstairs, I heard a booming male voice. Yes, I am. I knew it wasn't dad, but went up reluctantly to check. The upstairs was empty. We often heard footsteps climbing the stairs and walking back and forth in the hallway at night, as if someone was patrolling the house. When I was 15, I awoke to find two strangers standing at the foot of my bed. Oh my gosh, this is terrifying. The man wore a top hat and tails, and the woman a fancy party dress, as if going to a New Year's Eve celebration. They seemed curious and concerned about me, so I struggled to speak and said, "I'm okay." They vanished. Duke, our dog, absolutely hated thunderstorms. He'd run upstairs and hide under the bed, quivering. He died in 1984. Whenever there were thunderstorms after his death, we noticed the bed Duke hid under would shake. Once my father's hunting knife disappeared and was later found beneath the mattress at the foot of his bed, a place he'd never put it. After I married and had children, sharp objects began to disappear whenever we came to visit Mom and Dad's house. Knives, scissors, anything with a cutting edge. Sometimes, if we asked out loud, the object would be returned. Other times, not until after we left. We came to think that a ghostly presence was protecting the kids from harm. Among other things that disappeared were my brother's baby pictures. They never turned up again. We began to suspect the ghosts hovered over the house's children, keeping protective vigil by night and preventing hurts by day. When the Egglestons remodeled, they found few physical traces of the Lamphere's. Behind the house stood an old garage that may have once been a stable. By 1985, the garage was so shaky it had to be torn down. After that, all ghostly activities ceased. Perhaps the garage held some remnants of early owners, and once it disappeared, so did the links to its spirits. So that sounds like so very similar to the experiences I've had in certain houses, just undeniable kinetic energy, and the footsteps that always really scared me because I stayed in a house where I heard that every night, every single night, all night kind of thing. So without explanation. So that's the kind of thing that really freaks me out. The next one, we're going to head to South Corinth, and this one's called Dad's Cat. Nick and Judy built the house in 1990 at number 3 Adirondack Court, a new housing development in South Corinth, New York. They moved in with two cats and a dog. Their happiness was diminished by the news that Nick's father in New Jersey had suffered a stroke. "Why don't you come up and live with us?" they asked him. So Dad came to South Corinth and, though in pain, was happy to be part of an active household. When he first entered the house, he went to an easy chair to rest from his journey. Smokey, their beautiful young jet black cat, jumped into his lap, curled up, and went to sleep purring. Dad smiled. Kitty's vibrating warmth against his stomach eased his pain. Developing a special rapport, the two companions sat day after day, giving comfort to each other. On November 4th, 1993, Dad died and was buried soon after. On the day of his funeral, Smokey disappeared. Eventually, Nick and Judy resumed a normal life, comforted that Dad was in the land beyond, no longer suffering. Then came the first anniversary of Dad's death, November 4th, 1994, a day of remembrance. As Nick went about his duties in the kitchen that day, he glanced out the back door and there was Smokey. He opened the door to greet his long-lost pet. But in that moment, Smokey simply vanished. Neither Nick nor Judy saw him again until November 4th, 1995. That bright autumn afternoon, Nick looked out the door with his camera ready, remembering his experience on the previous November 4th. Suddenly, Smokey was there, sipping out of a milk saucer they'd placed on the floor. This time, Nick got a picture before Smokey vanished. Neither Nick nor Judy saw him again until November 4th, 1996. Smokey appeared briefly that day and was gone again before they could even say hello. He made his final appearance on November 4th, 1997, and then was never seen alive again. On Palm Sunday in 1999, Judy took a flower arrangement to place on Dad's grave in the Corinth Rural Cemetery, where her father was also buried. Near Dad's stone, she was surprised to see a small animal skull with black fur clinging to it. She recognized it as a cat's skull and couldn't help but wonder if Smokey had finally found Dad. Nick and Judy know there is more to the story and wish they knew it all. All they have is Smokey's photo. Did he get a dispensation from Cat Heaven to revisit South Corinth on the anniversary of Dad's death for 4 years in a row? And why did that conclude in 1997? Somewhere in Cat Heaven, there's a purring cat with a halo and Cheshire grin who loved Dad and has all the answers. So then moving on to some more personal stories. This one submitted by Austin. I was taking videos at a shutdown preschool on Palmer Avenue in Corinth, New York, when by a pole, there was a figure and the door was shaking. There were voices and a school bell, but that's not all. There's a fence outside of it that opened and closed. That is a little vague. The next one is submitted by Beth. I was taking pictures one night in the apartment in the commons, and I caught an orb that was bright white with gray in it. The first night we moved in, I was taking pictures upstairs, and I caught a figure sitting at the top of the steps. And at night, I hear the TV stand creaking and see the TV moving. Next is submitted by Logan. This little girl plays with my cousin Serene's toys. It is our house. We were surprised that the ghost actually came out. She walks in and out of the basement all the time. She is really nice, but she scares me. She is like an angel. That is terrifying. Really nice, but scary to just see an apparition. The last one for Corinth is submitted by Cindy. I was staying at my aunt's farmhouse, and it is true about her farmhouse being haunted by ghosts because I've witnessed things that have happened there. I have recorded tapping and things being thrown in the living room, and I have heard footsteps up and down the stairs and in and out of the bathroom. I have also seen spirits going into the shed there. So that is our stop in Corinth. And next, we're going to head over to Lake Luzerne. In Lake Luzerne, we're going to start with a story from David Pitkin's book called The Cleaner. In 1992, Maria, a businesswoman, bought the neat old house on Lake Avenue in Lake Luzerne, New York, in the foothills of the Adirondacks. Though the old German woman who had owned the house had been dead for several years, Maria found the house spotless when she moved in. She and her husband chose a bedroom on the ground floor, and their daughter Danielle slept upstairs. Every time I went away, something was sure to happen, Maria said. One night, out of town on a business trip, I called home. My husband answered. He'd had a very bad day, he told me. The house was a mess, and he was going out to eat. About an hour and a half later, when he returned, he found the house neat as a pin. All the litter had disappeared. Even the couch cushions were just so. Danielle was out and hadn't done it also. We never figured out how this happened. I know Danielle wasn't responsible, Maria told me, and my husband was too beat to do what was probably an hour's hard work. I just wish I could find that cleaning person. I'd give her a full-time job. Danielle once felt an invisible person lie down on the bed alongside her, depressing the bed covers in the shape of a child or a small adult, perhaps the size of the former owner. We had a rocking chair upstairs, Maria continued. Once I had a friend house sit for us when we were away. She brought the chair downstairs and put it near the laundry room, did her laundry, and then popped the clothes into the dryer, rocking while she waited. All of a sudden, the dryer began to smoke. My friend, fearing a fire, took down our CO2 fire extinguisher and sprayed the dryer and most of the room. A fine white powder covered everything, including the rocking chair. That's just fine, she snorted, and exasperated, went for a walk outdoors. After a while, she returned to sweep up the mess. As she entered the door, she saw the rocking chair abruptly stop rocking. She walked over to this chair and saw all the white powder gone from the place from where some small person's bottom had sat on the seat. The little lady probably had not yet had time to clean the room, but she did leave her mark. Many readers, conditioned by Hollywood's horrific productions, think ghost stories are always scary. Not true. Ghosts remain on Earth, attracted by ideas, emotions, unfinished work, and unfulfilled vows, to name just a few reasons. Some entities have obsessed so strongly on some aspect of their physical life that they are unable to detach after death. Most seem fixated on one thing, some aspect of their past life, and are usually unaware of other ghosts in the house, or their option to move on. In their labors to resolve some issue, they can also be oblivious to the living. Sometimes, however, this compulsion can take the form of a humorous, unintended help for the living. The Lake Avenue house was still her home, and the old woman's consciousness remained single-mindedly devoted to keeping it clean. And then next, and actually, I just wanted to say, a family friend of mine, I remember, purchased a house in downtown Lake Luzerne, and I can still remember walking through it because it was like a step back in time. She bought it fully furnished, and it definitely was. It was in the maybe middle to late 2000s, I believe, that it happened. Maybe middle 2000s, and I remember going up there, and she wanted some help with certain things, and from the curtains to the furniture to the wallpaper to everything, it had this kind of hazy darkness about it. It didn't get a lot of direct sunlight inside, and it was like, felt like someone else still remained there. And I just remember thinking, I never slept there, thinking I couldn't actually own this house or like actually stay here. So next we'll move on, and we'll hear some personal stories from the Lake Luzerne area. And the first one is going to be from someone named Britt. And Britt's story goes as, my mother used to be a bartender at the Rustic Inn in Lake Luzerne, New York. As a child, I'd go there with my dad to visit my mom and also eat food and play around the ballroom. The day of this event, the Rustic was pretty dead. There were only the regulars sitting at the bar, and I'd usually run off and choose some music from the jukebox. As I scrolled the artists, I began to hear footsteps coming down from behind what I thought to be emptied ballroom. Sometimes people write, not coherent sentences, and I struggle. The hairs on the back of my neck stood up as the sound of steps ended right behind me. At this time, I knew this was a stranger, and I was confused as to what she could have wanted. I turned slightly to reveal her white heels and tan tights. Then I turned all the way around, but she was gone. I never heard her, saw her again. I didn't have any bad vibes about her. I think she was just as confused as me. Maybe she was trying to ask questions, but I couldn't hear her. My mother had also experienced a few eerie events during her time working there. The place is definitely haunted, but it is closed to the public now. The next one is submitted by Vicky. was up there near the white water rafting area years ago now. I was with my ex-husband, his brother, and a friend. They went to the village and left me and my ex-husband. We had been there a few hours. Set up our tents, cooked, were cleaning dishes. I started to get a little eerie feeling. I told my ex I wanted to go home. I didn't have a good feeling and something was wrong and he mocked me. I just went down to the water and saw a face in the water. Not a body, just a face. I screamed and told my ex there was a dead body in the lake and I wanted to go. He mocked me again. So at this point, being angry, I locked myself in the car. About 2 hours later, his brother and friend came back. I could see them talking to my ex and their faces turned white as a ghost, and my ex flipped his head around looking at me with a scared look. He never got scared. He got in the car and said we were going home. I said, why? What happened? He said his brother and friend watched a car chase into the lake at the bridge close to where we were staying. They couldn't find the body and had a search team for hours. Finally pulling the car out and body after hours of searching. Yeah, I'd say I saw a ghost in Lake Luzerne. Oh my god, that's terrifying. The next one's short and sweet, submitted by Michael. I was at my house, no one was there. My mom's phone went off, but no one was home. Her ringtone was coming from the basement. Ugh. Next is submitted by Lauren. Me and my aunt, cousin, and my cousin's friend were going on a walk around the village near the lake. We went down a road with no street light. My cousin's friend turned around and the ghost ran across the road and screamed, "Ghost of Lake Luzerne." But there was more freaky stuff that night. We heard a deep laugh near a window in our cabin. Only a man could pull it off. And we lifted up the curtain and nothing was there. We didn't hear any walking away or leaves crinkling either. That's terrifying, out of like a slasher movie. And the next one is submitted by Beth. I was staying living on Stark Road at the time, and I was taking pictures on my digital camera, and I caught a turquoise blue orb up in the corner of the ceiling, and my fiance and I would hear the shower curtain close by itself. We would see shadows on the wall going down the hall, and we would also hear dishes moving as well. Ugh. And lastly, another one by someone named Beth. I was in my aunt's farmhouse one night and I heard the most strangest thing in the living room, and I found out that her farmhouse was haunted the next day. And that is simply it. No explanation as to what they actually heard. So next we're going to move over to Hadley, and we're going to start with Hadley Mountain, which is a story out of David Pitkin's book also. "This was the strangest thing that ever happened to me," said Jeff Baker, "and maybe it belongs in a ghost book. I don't know where else you'd tell it." He had just finished reading my first book, Saratoga County Ghosts, and was fascinated by the story, Stuck, which took place in the deep woods in the northern part of the town of Corinth. The story detailed the efforts of a group of young men to free a stranded Jeep from a mud hole. The Jeep had taken on a life of its own, moving despite the driver's best efforts to prevent it. I had speculated that a ghost or nature spirit had impelled the action. Now a resident of Hendersonville, North Carolina, Jeff remembered, "In 1987, I worked at logging a large tract off Tower Road near Hadley Mountain, not too far from the site of the Stuck story. There were about 600 acres of forest to cut there. Our job took 2 years," he recalls. Jeff liked the hard physical labor and was usually the first person on the site each morning. "I enjoyed the early morning peace and became used to seeing the wild animals and often heard coyotes until we started up our equipment. Then we couldn't hear them any longer." They dragged the trees out of the woods and cut them into lengths on platforms called headers spaced along their logging roads. At the foot of the mountain, way in the back, there was a header that was different. I'd sit there in the early morning waiting for the other loggers, and one day heard the scariest sound I'd ever heard. It was not a bobcat, a bear, a coyote, coy dog, or anything else I knew. I also felt it in my soul. It was a moaning and a wailing, and it was nearby. The loud animal-like wail continued for a couple of months. I became very cautious back there on that header. One day, working with his buddy, the two took the skidder up the mountain and picked up a hitch of wood. Then the pair moved downhill, but Jeff saw another small stand that he could cut quickly. Motioning his friend downhill, he cut the trees, limbed them out, and sat on a stump to catch his breath. He could hear the skidder's engine running far down the mountainside. Above and behind him, then came a sudden crack. He spun around in time to see a huge live tree falling directly at him. He jumped sideways just in time. The tree crashed onto his chainsaw, flipping it end over end. But before he could recover, he heard the awful moaning sound again. I spun around but saw nothing. All around me, I could feel this presence. I was wondering which tree would fall on me next and what was making that awful sound. I don't know how much time passed. I just stood there waiting and watching. Then I heard the skitter coming back. When my buddy got there, he took one look at me and knew something was really wrong. And then he heard the moan too. It was as if it was in us and around us. We were both so scared. I remember standing guard with his running chainsaw while he hooked up the hitch of wood. Then we headed downhill fast. I've never heard such a sound before or since. It was unearthly, and that was the one sound you could hear over the sound of running equipment. I've never gone back to that place, but I'll never forget it. I have no explanation for that experience. My buddy was just as flummoxed as I would. He'd never heard such a sound either. Safe in North Carolina, Jeff still wonders about his experience. I'm still not sure there's enough distance between us, me and that ghost, or being, or spirit, or monster, or whatever it was or is, but I'll take my chances here, he said with a grin. So next, we'll move on to some personal stories from Hadley also, and the first one is from someone named Jessica. We live in one of the 12 oldest houses in Lake Luzerne, and I just want to check. This is under Hadley, even though it starts in Lake Luzerne. There were two girls and about seven, and the other early teens from the 1700s. There is one male presence that picked up them through my six-year-old a couple feet away from the chair she was in. Oh, we're getting right into it. The closet light in her room has turned on and off by itself. It is a pull string. We have a 1980s radio alarm clock that when you turn the dial to turn it on for the radio, we hear the click as it turns on to the radio with no one in that room. I have seen movement of a dog circling on my bed and sometimes feel a tail wagging by my leg. We all have animal allergies, so there is not one animal living in the house. We hear footsteps upstairs when no one is there. We know that no one is up there because we block it up to reduce our heating bill. We have heard a voice coming from the center of the house when we're all in separate rooms. We have gotten verification from amateur ghost hunters. My kid has told us about a fire in the late 1700s that the ghost hunters had never heard about, nor us. And after some research, we were informed that where she pointed from her seat in the house was actually spot on in location. We have witnessed items disappear then reappear upon returning to a room. Last weekend, a bead flew out of thin air and onto the table. You feel like you are constantly under surveillance. Oh, that's a terrible sentence. The next one submitted by Casey. My house is haunted. I saw a ghost when I was like two, but since then I haven't really seen anything. But I have had things move and even had things thrown at me. People say they see people and shadows in our windows when we aren't even home. And that's in Hadley. And then lastly, I just wanted to move over to Stony Creek because I found a personal story from there, and it was close enough that I thought we should just tell it. And this story is submitted by Peyton. This story starts off as me sleeping, and for real, I heard and found barking footsteps and hysterical laughter in my grandma's basement in Stony Creek, New York, in a home on Murray Road. There was a hole in the brick wall there. The horror is that when I went downstairs on the crooked wooden stairs, I was a really young middle school 8th grade teen, and I didn't tell anyone because they would think I was mentally insane. It was 3 a.m. in the morning, and there was a ghost hanging without a head. Ugh, there were blood, guts, and an invisible butcher knife. What? I ran upstairs beyond disturbed and back up into my bed upstairs while my grandparents and mom were out cold sleeping. I heard him say, "You better get the hell out of here, mortal, or you and your family, including your newts," as in N-E-W-T, "your newts, eastern painted turtle, and your pathetic, feeble dwarf frog and yourself will be the next to die." That is, can I just read that again? That is the most specific sentence. "You better get the hell out of here, mortal, or you and your family, including your newts, eastern painted turtle, and your pathetic, feeble dwarf frog and yourself will be next to die. Get out of here while you still can," I heard another spirit. I was sure I heard a ghost battle with mice and rats. I knew, and I still know I'm not crazy, and you won't either. He was either a cowboy, mill worker, or a tribesman warrior. Peyton, that is my favorite story I have ever read. That is so funny. So on that note, I just wanted to say a huge cheers to David Pitkin, because we spotlighted him a few episodes ago, and we used his book for this episode, and yeah, it was just so fun to hear these stories. And then also ghostsofamerica.com, such an excellent resource for personal stories. So on that note, a big cheers. And as always, happy haunting.